You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Grit and Barrett Podcast, a podcast devoted to the 11-time Calder Cup champion, the Hershey Bears. We talk Hershey Bears, the American Hockey League, and all the hockey news that matters to me. This is high energy, unfiltered, and at times unfocused hockey talk from a hack. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Grit and Barrett Podcast, everyone. How is everyone doing on this Monday, January 24th? It is another hockey weekend. We are deep into January. In fact, January is almost done with, dare I say, almost all-star time. And if you listen to the previous podcast on the Friday Faceoff, you'll hear my thoughts about the NHL and ECHL All-Star Game. How about that for a shameless promotion? How's everyone doing? My name is Richard Blosser, welcoming you to another episode. And boy, do we have a big, big weekend of Bears hockey to talk about to each and every one of you. But before we start, just a reminder to everyone that we are presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Ding, ding, ding. All right. So this past Saturday, the Bears were back at it in one of the greatest times of the year. Take it. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Can I say that on a podcast without, you know, getting into trouble? Not quite possibly, but who knows? Let's keep going. Let's keep going. It is the night that we've been waiting for as Bears fans for two long years. The last one we had, it was all the way back before the world went crazy in December 2019. Remember that time when we didn't have to worry about masks or mandates or political hargle-bargle. We just cared about lovely, delicious hockey, and we still do. Anyway, I'm rolling right now. Let's keep this going. So, since the world went crazy and shut down, we've been waiting for this night. Teddy Bear Toss Night had returned to Giant Center on a weird date in January instead of December. Because normally, boys and girls, we have this in December because it's the time of giving. It's the time of throwing these bears so we can give these bears to children around the holidays, to different organizations and hospitals all throughout the PA area. Moving it to January was a very mind-boggling move by many a fan base, but considering what happened with the great virus, it was probably for the better that it did get moved. And when we got to Giant Center Saturday night, my beloved was off. I was there. I had 8 Walmart bags ready to take in. My buddies brought many bags of their own. We were ready to go on a balmy 8-degree night here in Hershey. Oh boy, was it hockey weather, boys and girls, as we welcome the Hartford Wolfpack into town. And when we got in, there was an energy in the building that I had not felt in over 2 years. There were crowded concourses. There were long food lines. I mean, yes, sure, these are normal things. There were long food lines. People had the lower bowl filled up as we got to warm-ups. Friend of the podcast, Jared Ronski, put a little extra oomph-da when he said, "Your Hershey Chex Watch E Bears." Ooh, he's all ready to go tonight. I mean, he got the oomph-da in that one. And there was a buzz in the building that I hadn't felt in a long time. In fact, dare I say, an almost playoff atmosphere where people held their breath and hung on every single play. There were lots of people here. There were people getting up during play, drinking beer, loud kids. You know, things you kind of take for granted when you go to a random Wednesday night game and there's only 2,000 people there. Ha! So, Saturday with bags in tow, with bears ready to go. Actually, in my case, a rather nice sized Hello Kitty Naruto edition in my hands, ready to go. Oh, trust me, this thing flies. It's gonna clunk somebody when it gets down to the lower 100 levels. But we're all watching. The bears skate out, and we have some bodies back in the lineup. Big Beck is back. So is Eddie. Oh, good big beefy boys are back in the lineup, so maybe the boys won't get pushed around as hard. AJ's back in the lineup after getting into Washington this past week and was brought back down. Again, everybody was ready to go. And one other thing I noticed before we get into the game itself, that when we had the national anthem and it was singing and we got to "And the Rockets," I heard a lot of red glare. I looked down, I went, "Ooh, we got Capitals fans here." All right. So, and into the final verse, when he went, "Oh, say tuz," you heard a lot of, "Oh," and I mean a healthy, "Oh," that's not what it sounds like, throughout the entire audience. And I'm looking around, and I'm going, "Ho, ho, ho," healthy amount of Orioles fans here too. Not like they got anything else better to do, but wow, we have a smattering of people from the Baltimore, lots of Orioles fans. Oh boy, lots of people here. And even when we got to the land of the free, the singer stopped and a loud, healthy "Go Bears" erupted from the crowd. Oh God, yes! Were we ready for this game? I don't know where that came from, but again, let's keep going. And the face-off was ready to go, and you felt electricity in the air. Everybody hanging off of checks. You heard the crunch into the boards. Oh, shots. Ah. And just, again, almost, dare I say, a playoff atmosphere. Hanging on every pass, every shot, every save, and just waiting for that puck to go into the net. But Hartford, ready to play spoiler, because they were shut out in their own teddy bear toss night in Hartford. This is your daily reminder that God hates Hartford. So in the first, Hartford presses really hard in the first period, just throwing a lot of shots on goal, determined to get the first points on the board. And to credit to Hartford, they actually played half decently. I mean, they're first place in the division for a reason, but they were missing a lot of their key firepower. Brodzinski wasn't there. Anthony Greco wasn't there. A lot of their big names were up with the taxi squad in the Rangers. And Keith Kincaid was in net, our old buddy, for the Hartford Wolfpack, a man who is 12-1-2 for the Wolfpack this season. So there's a good reason why these guys are 17-10-3-2 and are up near the top of the division. But the Bears get a power play about 5 minutes in off of a rather weak cross check. It was more of a yeah on the back of the shoulder, and the ref went, no, that's a penalty. You're going. Okay. Weak sauce, as the kids like to say, but all right, let's go. And they get everything set up. Domoski wins a face-off. Boy, we're really missing guys like Molson in those face-off circles, and gets the puck out to the point. Round throws it down low. Pinho's got it. Throws it to AJ. AJ back down low to Pinho. Pinho back to AJ from the circle. Wrister scores! Scores! AJ scores! Go! Go! Throw the Bears! Throw them! Go! 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 And they're off. And we're off. And the teddy bears are flying. Zach even said on the goal call, "Sweet cuddly mayhem." Zach, sweet cuddly mayhem? It's a big game. He's trying out new stuff. Okay, let him go. Let him go. It's a big game. Just let him do. As the kids like to say, you do you. But who cares about that? We got teddy bears. We're throwing them. I'm throwing them. Hand me another bear. Get, go. Look. Look. It's a big Tom Tukey from Animal Crossing. Aren't you adorable? Get out of here. Give me something. Give me something. Oh, look. A small bear. Yoink. Give me another one. Give me another one. Oh, look. A sloth. As the kids like to say, yay. Right up and go. Hand me another bag. Come on. Go. Go. Throwing them. chucking them. I'm probably hitting people in the lower bowl, but they're not caring. A big giant Reese's stuffed bar, I hold it up like Simba. They see it down below me, and yeet! Up and over it goes. Oh my God, teddy bears, stuffed animals, giant bears, lions, cubs, Pokemon, minions, you name it. 2 years of collecting, 2 years of sitting on teddy bears, 2 years and of just waiting to go back to a hockey game, to see a goal and to stand up and cheer and yell and scream and lose your voice in this freaking hockey game was back, baby! Am I yelling? I'm yelling. Sorry. Sorry about that. Let me, hold on, everyone. Hold on. Let me just get some water here. Shall I take a deep breath? Okay. All right. All right. Okay. We're good. We are good. All right. So before that, it's great to see it again. And the Bears are just flying up and over. We got the Junior Bears out. We've got Jonesy out. The players see these giant piles of teddy bears and just jump right into it. Shane Gersich goes into it there, smiles. Zach Fucali grabs a really big bear, is like, he's okay, guys, I got this. And just, oh, it's beautiful. But after a while, coaches said, all right, everyone out of the pool, let's let them do their job. Come on, come on. And we spend the next 45 minutes, and I wish I was joking. Goal was scored at around 7:20, and we're getting everything off the ice. We're collecting. There's a really big corner that pile in the corner out by the far goal, the Bears attack zone, that's almost up to the top of the glass. It's that bad. So we're playing all of the music. We're playing everything. Ooh, we're playing Freddy. Don't stop me. Yes. And we transition that right into, we had turbulence. God. All right. Oh, we're playing YMCA and Shut Up and Dance With Me. And, you know, all those songs that are supposed to get them kids moving. I'm showing my age. Shut up. But all this is just to kill time. People go down. This is when you head to the concession stands, grab a beer, grab some water, walk it off, and relax at this point. And after around 8:05, we got the Zambonis back out. We do a dry scrape. Let's get everybody back out and play some hockey. And it's 8:07. Oh, boy. So after a sit, after some fun, after grabbing some bears, 45 minutes later, we're back at it. Two teams still rather even as we are going into the first, and the Bears are pressing later on in the period. Long wrister by Geiser gets blocked down. Hartford loves to get in to those shooting lanes. Shot by Pilon gets blocked out right to Pinho, who shuffleboards it past Kincaid and into the net. Brian Pinho, 2-0 Hershey, gets it past Kincaid. And you're just building off of the energy. And we end the first period at 8:20. Oh, this is going to be a long night, isn't it? We go into the second, and it's 8:40. This doesn't feel right. This feels like the beginning of the third, not the beginning of the second. And we go through the entire second period, and there's only two notable instances. No, the Bears don't score. But as I'm working on some things on my phone, the Bears are in the attack zone. That's across from us down at 217. And I hear a thunk. I'm like, what the hell happened? And Pinho's down. Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, no. He goes down, clenching his jaw. Oh, my goodness. Just from what my buddy Joe said, looks like the puck came up underneath the visor and caught him right in the jaw. Oh, God. And we heard that all the way up in 217. We heard that with all the people in this building, with lots of people here, and you still heard the rubber go thunk up against the human jawline right here. That's not good. So down the tunnel he goes. There's some blood. Oh, boy. He might be eating out of a straw for a while. And also, later on in the second, Keith Kincaid makes a slide over and his guy collides with them off of a rush. Oof. Kincaid loses his stick. He's a little gingerly to get back up, and he's really leaning on a stick. That's not good. But end of the second, still 2-0. Phoenix Copley is playing a really good game of hockey. We go back down. We go back up. It is 9:20. Oh, boy. Almost 9:30. And we're just starting the third. Oh, boy. And we notice Keith Kincaid did not come out for the third. Adam Huska was in net. I guess Kincaid's not... We were guessing could have been leg, could have been groin, could have been a hammy. But Keith Kincaid, you're out. And in comes Adam Huska. All right, let's try. Get to this guy early. 23 seconds in. Bears rush the zone. They have a cold goaltender. Get to him early. Joe Snively wrap around and into the net. Far post. Beat Huska. 3-0 Hershey on the first shot of the third. Oh, boy, Huska. Ooh, we did this to him up in Hartford a few years ago before the world went crazy. So, oh, boy, this could be one of those nights for him. We're still pressing it on in the third, getting it up there in shots. Long wrister by Geiser gets knocked down. Geiser gets his own rebound, scramble in front. AJ cleans up the rebound and scores! AJ gets it in! 4-0 Hershey. Huska looks to the heavens. 2 goals on 6 shots. And he is rattled. Oh, boy. And with this type of crowd, when you sense blood in the water, oh, you go after it. And oh, did we ever. We did the old Charlotte/Nashville chant. Huska, 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 you suck. Pull the goalie. What goalie? He loves it. He makes a save right after that. They give him the old Bronx cheer. And oh my God, you can hear it from section 125. Fans are going after Huska. Just malice and just rattling a goalie. You haven't seen this in a long time. Is this, dare I say, fun at a hockey game we're having? Why, yes. Yes. Why can't it always be like this? Well, okay. Not every hockey game could be like this. But why can't they be more fun like this? This is fantastic. These are people who are coming to games, learning about hockey, having fun, maybe getting drunk, but having fun. This is fantastic. I love it. More of these games type, please. And midway through the third, Rimshaw sort of skates in front of Huska, loses his balance and falls on him. And oh boy, Huska mad gets up and pushes down Rimshaw. Oh, Eddie sees that and chooses violence. Come on, come here. Yeah, come. Shoving him. Huska bonks Demoski in the back of the head. Eddie wants to go at Huska. Copley skating up to the blue line like, hey, hey, that's my boy. Hey, hey. What's going on down there? I got to come down there. You know he would. There's a scrum. Demoski gets sent to the box. He gets 10 minutes, but there's 8 minutes left in the game. So basically, it's 2-10 and bye. 2-10. Bye. So both of them are gone. Whoever the Hartford guy was, I'd like to care. I really would, but I don't. So later on in the third, and we noticed with the guys, AJ's got 2 goals on the night. It's a Hattie watch and a slight death watch for Hartford. And Hartford's trying to press. They're activating some of their defensemen more, but this leaves them wide open as Gersich gets a puck out of the zone, chips it up and forward. AJ's in on a breakaway. Looks, stick side, scores! AJ! AJ, the phenomenal AJF does it! And that's it. A hat trick. Throw the hat. We throw in Bears. Throw the hat too. Go, go, go. I don't have a hat. Well, throw your... Nope. 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 And, oh my goodness. A teddy bear toss night and a hat trick. Axel Janssen Fialbi becomes the first Hershey Bear to not only let the teddy bears fly, but have a hat trick on teddy bear toss night. In fact, I think the first hat trick on teddy bear toss night ever, and it was all a formality at this point. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Hartford. Bears win it, 5-0 the final, a 23-save shutout for Phoenix Copley. Good day at the office, everyone. 3 stars of the night, and the game took over 3 hours to do. Jesus. Game ended around 10:20, and third star went to Garrett Pilon, who had three assists on the night. Good for him. Number 2 star should be Phoenix Copley Snively, Joe Snively, with a goal and 2 assists. Okay, why? That's good. Pilon's three assists. That's a good thing. But the goalie had a shutout that kind of puts you in. And number 1 star of the night, of course, hat trick and started the Teddy Bears flying. Axel Janssen Fialbi, who is just better than you. And while we're here, ladies and gentlemen, just let me say this. Enjoy whatever time AJ has left with the Bears, because the trade deadline is about 1.5 months away, and we know the Capitals are going to be wheeling and dealing because there's a certain number 62 they really, really, really want to get rid of, and AJ would really fit that role as a speedy bottom sixer that they could rely on. And I mean sixer, I don't mean Stanford Pines from Gravity Falls. He is a bottom sixer that they could rely on and cheap just to get Carl Hagelin off the books. Maybe get Daniel Sprong off the books. Maybe the Washington Capitals will finally stop, signing former Penguins for the lulls. Maybe after signing Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik, Daniel Sprong, and Justin Schultz for the lulls, maybe they can actually look to their farm system now. And I'm rambling. Sorry. That's a me problem, and I will deal with it. So, yeah. But back to the issue at hand, as I was saying, AJ is a very real possibility that he does not finish the season in Hershey. But rightfully so, for the development that this guy has had, who's turned himself into a speedy sniper. That is he elite talent? No. Is he good enough to be a bottom six or NHL guy? Yes. And that's what we are seeing, everyone. So I say this, Bears fans, enjoy how much longer we're going to have AJ down here, because I have a feeling it's not going to be too much longer. So Bears win it 5-0 the final. Fun time at the office, everyone. But we weren't done with Hartford just yet. Oh, no, we weren't, because Hartford was back. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot one important thing before we go to our sponsorship break. How many teddy bears did we toss? I hear you ask. How many bears did we throw onto the ice? Well, the final number came in at around 9:50 p.m. The number was not 10,000. And Jared Ronski did this, friend of the podcast, and I'll do it too. Not 20,000, not 30,000, not 40,000, 52,451 bears were tossed and or collected at that game on Saturday night. Good job at the office, everyone. Well done to each and every Bears fan and Bears Nation, and everyone who participated on Twitter. I know there were you Caps fans out there who are like, I need to get to this game. Yes. Yes, you do, because it is fantastic. It is glorious. It is a fun atmosphere. Dare I say, the best night of the year. So, great job. Yours truly got involved. Our crew does as well. My road crew, the Shield, the Road Warriors, whatever we call ourselves. It's a combined effort by all of Bears Nation, and we thank each and every one of you. But we're not done yet, because one more battle against Hartford came on a Sunday afternoon, and we will get to that in a moment after a word from our sponsor at DraftKings. Alrighty, Bears fans, as fun as Teddy Bear Toss was, the NFL playoffs are upon us, and after a wild, chaotic, maddening, delicious madness of the divisional playoff weekend, it's time for Championship Sunday in the National Football League, where only four teams remain, and that means four teams left for you to bid on at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer? You can experience the conference championships with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same games for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 to win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, PA only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wage required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now on with the show. As we are back here on the Grit and Barrett podcast, everyone. And thank you, everyone, because last week's episode of O Canada did over 200 downloads. And the Friday face-off eclipsed 100 in just the weekend alone. That's all of you doing that. And that is thank you so much to Saged Up Sports Retweet Family, who's helped out with that as well. All of you have helped this show grow so much in the year that we have gotten up and running. And I assure all of you, there is more to come. But let's get back at it on a Sunday. 3 o'clock start, oh boy, as we take on the Hartford Wolfpack once again. Now, unfortunately, we had an injury to deal with as Brian Pinho took a puck up high. He is out, no word on with him. We swapped some guys out. Christopher Brown was in. Marquise Vela was in on a back-to-back, and we actually have healthy bodies now. We can actually rotate people in more. Heck, Eddie Whitko, we can put him back on defense now. So the Bears are slowly getting healthier. Maybe not to where we would have thought by the beginning of the season, but, you know, we are slowly getting ourselves back there. But back at it again as we took on the Hartford Wolfpack. Now, unfortunately, Hartford got reinforcements because the previous night, the New York Rangers assigned a good, healthy amount of players back to the Hartford Wolfpack, which included Johnny Brodzinski, Anthony Greco, and others. You know, some of their heavy hitters were back with the Wolfpack. So this is not going to be the same team. This is going to be more difficult, but let's see where this goes. Zach Fucali is in net. Adam Huska's back in the net again. Oh boy, with Taylor Wall backing him up. So we go at it in the first, and it's Hershey Park Pass Night. Oh goody, what's Hershey Park Pass Night? I'm glad you asked. Hershey Park Pass Night is for whatever ticket you buy or season ticket you have, you get a Hershey Park Pass, which is a $70 ticket, which is good until the end of June. If you think about it, it's a nice little play. You pay for a $32 ticket and you get a $70 Hershey Park ticket to go along with it. You buy a family four-pack, you get a four-pack of tickets you can use during the summer. And let me tell you this, boys and girls, May and June is not a bad time to go to Hershey Park. Just saying. As someone who has a season pass myself. So, it's great. Now, the only problem is that when we have these nights, people kind of show up only for the Hershey Park tickets. Like, it is kind of night and day because it was a sellout on both nights. But on Saturday, you had people who were there for a great cause and people who really wanted to watch a great hockey game and just take in the great atmosphere. Sunday, yeah, I'm just here for the Hershey Park tickets, and it's a 3 o'clock start, so, you know, you can come here for the afternoon. I can take my kid home, and he can get ready for school or virtual learning the next day. So, yeah, we're here to see that, you know, thing that they're playing down there. Oh, goody. So when you hear me roll my eyes whenever a Hershey Park pass night comes around, it's not exactly the best crowd, even though a lot of people show up. There have been times when people have shown up, gotten their Hershey Park tickets, and turned around and walked right out, because that's what they're there for. Sorry, not sorry. Let's keep this going. And it's a bit more of a hard-hitting affair this time. The Wolfpack do what they did the previous game and just press hard the first 5 minutes. They're using their legs. They're getting that forecheck going. Three guys in, two players deep, one guy on the blue line waiting for an error, and just not really letting the Bears getting their legs going. And this is a tougher game against Hartford than what it was the night before. And the Wolfpack were able to work it down low 7 minutes into the period. Ty Ronning works it down low, throws it in front for Collies down, goes for the poke check, sort of misses it, over to Tanner Fritz, who puts it into the net and scores. Fucali kind of misplayed that, went down low, committed to the poke check, and it did not come home. Tanner Fritz, his fifth of the season, scored his first goal in over a month. Why do we do this? And it's 1-0 Hartford. Ugh, God. But the boys started pressing yet again. Third power play of the period. Yes, the Bears got three power plays, and just keep pressing in. Once we got it set up, Alexiev, long wrister. Axel throws it back in. Snively shuffleboards it past Huska, and it's tied the game. Joe Snively with his 13th of the season ties the game at 1-1 with 1 minute to go in the first period. We are tied at 1 point apiece. But, you think Hartford was going to go down that easily? Heck no. As they just did the same thing they did before. Got the puck low. Look for bodies out in front. Zach Jones and Anthony Greco. That fragger. Greco just gets the down low. Throws it in front. There's Johnny Brzezinski. Bam! Puts it far top corner and scores. Dear God, that's a nice shot. For his 12th of the season, Greco's 17th assist of the season. And as much as people were kind of getting on Fucali's case, that's just a really nice shot by Brzezinski. I didn't know, somebody didn't have him out front. Somebody didn't have him. And he was just sitting there waiting for it. And it's 2-1 Hartford. And Hartford's really pressing, really getting the physical game going. And, you know, I like that we had big bodies and we were pushing back. Dylan Mikelrath making friends. Eddie Witko chose violence. Beck just pushing guys around, which is nice. I like that we're going for the hits and we're pushing guys around. But, I kind of like to see a little bit more of the speed and skill because that's what beat these guys. Yes, I like hits. Yes, I like that guys are willing to throw down. But, playing a tough, slow-down game is not something you want to do against Hartford. You don't want to run and gun against these guys, but a grit and grind game, they can do that. And that's what a versatile team in Hartford can do. But the Bears, they do keep pressing, and they get a little bit of forechecking of their own as Alexiev, long shot, misses. Gershich collects below, throws it over to Vecchione, who roofs it, ping-ping and in! Rattles the crossbar and drops in and ties the game at two. Okay, Vecchione, fine. Scores his sixth of the season and ties the game at 2. And we head into the third. And I'm not feeling really confident about this. I mean, yeah, sure, this is a slower Sunday game compared to the fast Saturday game. But it seemed like we used all of our good juju. It seemed like we used all of our lucky bounces and puck and skill the last night. It's almost like we used all our energy on Saturday at the teddy bear toss, and then we got nothing for Sunday and are a little flat-footed because 17 shots heading into the second, we know we're better than that. And credit to Hartford. They were shot-blocking because I kept hearing a lot of thuds. Bam, bam, bam. Shots off of shins and skates. Defensive guys getting a little greedy trying to get shots in on net, especially Double A, who loves throwing those long shots, but they're not getting through. What are you doing, Alex? This is why Washington's hasn't called your name as much as you wanted. You know, defense better there, kid. And we get late into the third. It's getting a little tense. I don't want to play this team in overtime. I really don't, because they have speed and skill. And all the way back up to the point, long wrister by Terrell Rinen, deflected by Richards, and it's into the net. It's in. Oh my goodness. Justin Richards, a deflection, his third of the season, beats Fucali through the five hole. Double screen deflection. Hartford scores with 2 minutes and change left in the third, and it's all that. That's it, Jerry. I don't need to see any more. Now, did I bolt? No, I didn't. But you felt it was over. The Bears pulled the goalie, but nothing came of it, literally. And time ran out, and that was the end of the game. The score, Hartford 3, the Bears 2, to split the weekend with the Wolfpack. Three stars were Double A Alexiev, Vecchione, and Justin Richards. So that did it. Bears went 1-for-2 on the power play. Hartford went 0-for-2. Shots were 26-19. And, you know, after the game, as I was walking out, because we kind of had some reservations we had to do, I started hearing, like, some things from Bears fans. Why'd we start Fucali tonight? Why'd we start him? He's not good. Zach Fucali let in 2 bad goals. It's as simple as that. Huh? It did just like that? Yeah, just like that. Too simple. He doesn't let in those 2 goals, we win. Well, thank you for that, Captain Obvious. But, you know what? I'll listen. You know, I hate that we're piling on Fucali because I don't think he's terrible. But Brian John on Twitter posted this of some of Zach Fucali's numbers during the season. And, well, shall we? October 17th against Lehigh. One goal allowed on 24 shots. Against Charlotte, in Charlotte, 1 goal on 28 shots. I think that was the overtime game. Against Cleveland, 1 goal on 29 shots. In Springfield, 3 goals on 22 shots. Yeah, that's on the road. Fine. 3 goals on 31 shots against the same team in Springfield in the return, but still got the win. Okay, offense kind of bailed him out on that game. By the way, his first 2 games, Lehigh and Charlotte, he won those games. OT win against Cleveland, and I think an OT loss against Springfield. All right, everyone still with me? Good. The Hartford game, the road game, the burn the tape game, 7 goals on 28 shots. Took the L on that one. Against Providence, I think that was Thanksgiving Eve, 3 goals on 25 shots. Against Laval, back from the break, 4 goals on 21 shots. Took the L on that one. Against Bridgeport earlier on the month, 2 goals on 24 shots, got the win. Against the Phantoms at home, got the win. I think that was the overtime win. 3 goals on 21 shots. against the Marlies last weekend, 4 goals on 22 shots and an overtime loss. And just this past weekend, Hartford 3 for 19 and taking the L on that one. So what's the net on all that? Well, he is giving up a lot more of the goals ever since it looks like the Hartford game kind of broke him. And when he doesn't cross the 3-goal threshold, he's okay. He's good. But whenever he gives up 3 or more, 3 goals against Springfield, the OT loss, 3 goals at home against Springfield, got the win on that one. That was an OT one, I believe. The 7 goals, yes, that was a loss. 3 against Providence, that was the Thanksgiving Eve game. I forget if that was an overtime one or not. 4 goals against Laval, that was definitely a loss. Remember that one. 3 goals against Lehigh, but that was an overtime win. The offense bailed him out. And 4 against Toronto was the overtime loss. 3 against Hartford today was a straight-up loss. So a couple of those big goal games, he's had the offense to bail him out on that one. And I've mentioned this to my friends. Is the team just more confident around Copley and, dare I say, Hunter Shepard than Zach Fucali? And Sean of the Calder Farm Stand was kind of correct. We saw him do really good against really bad teams last year and rewarded him for it. And so the Capitals could have an extra goalie in the pipeline and in the system. Fucali was meh for the Capitals. I'm sorry, I don't have time to look it up, but you know, he's doing just good enough to be in the AHL right now. And as much as there would be some people who would want to deal him and or get rid of him, then, you know, who's going to take a veteran goaltender at this point? I think the Bears would much rather, and the Capitals would much rather see guys like Vitek, you know, rather use Vitek. Hunter Shepard's doing well. Copley's doing what he needs to do down here and could be trade bait as well. And we do have Hunter Shepard and Ryan Bennard all the way down there in South Carolina as well. So there's going to be an odd goalie out as we head into the trade deadline. And I've always said Phoenix Copley needs to watch his back, and I stand by that. But is Fucali really the answer? I don't know. But I'm not ready to abandon ship on him just now, because it's checks notes only January. We've knocked goalies like Sammy, and he was able to turn it around in the second half of the season. Justin Peters was able to find it for the playoffs in 15-16. Joe Cannata. Oh, he got shipped off to parts unknown. All right, Joe Cannata. Bad example. There's time for him to turn it around, but as we like to say, it's getting late a little early for him. So, food for thought, or Fucali for thought. I'll go to my room. Sorry. So that'll do it for the Grit and Barrett podcast. This Monday, we have a Tuesday night game against the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Baby Penguins, the suddenly half-decent Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, who got Anthony Angelo and Pierre Oliver Joseph back. Thanks to a Bridgeport win, put Wilkes-Barre back down in the cellar at 4.55, but, hold on, but Wilkes-Barre's getting reinforcements and could actually be half decent. Lovely. The Bridgeport Islanders are in 7th, but they're frisky at 4.63. The Lehigh Valley Phantoms, who are able to split their down there in Charlotte, are getting back to 500 little by little and rung by damn rung at 485. Methinks we must keep an eye on them. The Charlotte Checkers at 19-15, 2-0, still a damn good farm system, and they're still tough at home at 556, good enough for, ironically, 5th. Hershey's down in 4th, but that's because we have an ultra-tight spot between 1 through 4. A loss can send you really packing. So nobody be freaking of out. He's okay. It's just a log jam here at the top at 597. Springfield's also at 597. Head-to-head matchups, whatever. Springfield's in third, also at 597. 603 is the Hartford Wolfpack. And leading this blankety-blank division is the Providence Bruins at 613 and has, at minimum, 3 to 5 games in hand over everybody in the division. God bless Corona Chun and her Omicron little sister who just had to go through the entire league around Christmas time. Anyway, those games will be made up at some point. So, for everyone, we got a lot more games as we are heading on as football is wrapping up and there's going to be a lot more Bears. There's going to be content. And me and the boys have said this. We need to be in a really good position as we hit Valentine's Day because the games are going to get very road heavy and a lot of in-division on the road that does not involve the state of Pennsylvania. So the road is going to get a lot tougher as the cold grip of winter sets in. Be ready, Bears Nation. Be ready. So that'll do it for the Grit and Barrett podcast this week. Thank you to everyone for your times, listens, and downloads. Join us back on Friday for the Friday Face-Off as we will get you ready for all this weekend's action. Enjoy the winter. Enjoy the football. We'll catch you next time, and go Bears! Thank you for downloading this episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are currently listening to. If you are listening on Apple or Google, please leave us a 5-star review as it appeases our algorithm overlords. If you enjoyed this podcast, please check out the Hockey Podcast Network, where there is a podcast for each and every NHL team. We also cover the American Hockey League. They have a podcast about college hockey and all the ins and outs of the hockey world. If you wish to know more about our parent club, please check out the official Caps Chirps podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network, as they cover all things Washington Capitals. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GritAndBarrettP1. On Twitter. That's at GritAndBarrettP1 on Twitter. This podcast is dedicated to the memory of Patricia Blosser, who passed away on December 5th, 2020 to dementia and COVID. The show is also dedicated to all of the Hershey Bears friends, fans, and family who lost their lives to cancer. Cancer sucks. Thank you once again for listening to the Grit and Barrett podcast, and go Bears!